just 2 minutes in my personal Hakaras Hatov. The reason we celebrate the Chevra Kedisha and honor them on the Yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu is because we know Moshe Rabbeinu was buried by none other than the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And when you get to witness the work of a Chevra Kedisha, like our Chevra Kedisha, you understand that really, for all of time, every Chevra Kedisha is doing the work of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. And like the Rabbanu Shel Olam, no one knew where Moshe was buried, no one knew how Moshe was buried. To a large degree, that's true about every Chevra Kedisha. Every Chevra Kedisha is working tirelessly at all hours of the night, all hours of the day, doing the work of the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Pasuk said in last week's Parsha that the Aron HaKodesh was layered with gold on the inside and on the outside. But on the inside, the Pasuk says, Titzapenu v'tzapisa bizov tahor, pure gold. On the outside, it just says, Mibachutz titzapenu. Why not pure gold? The Kli Yakar says, because pure gold is only on the inside. When people do things and no one else knows about it, it's not in the limelight, people don't see it, that's actions of pure gold. Our Chevra Kedisha is truly one which is totally, totally dedicated to the Tzibur, dedicated to helping each and every one of us in our difficult times. And it's a kavod for me to be able to learn so much for them in terms of how to deal with such delicate situations. I appreciate it. And you should continue to have the koach. The Rebbeinu Shem should continue to give you the koach to serve our community and all of Klal Yisrael for many years to come. It's a great kavod for us to have Rabbi Shalom Aksarat address us with some Divrei Torah.
Following the remarks this morning, we'll be reciting a Kel Mole. First, I just want to say that when I don't normally speak too much. I know in the shul I do, but outside in the community, I really haven't spoken over the last 7 years that I'm in the community. But when I got a call from Rabbi Feiner, it was very difficult to say no for two reasons. One is a few years ago, I placed a call to him to speak at our Zion HaDesuda. But also, as he mentioned, being a colleague in a community where our shuls are large and the demands are great, it's really something special to have someone that you could talk to as a colleague and as a friend. And Rabbi Feiner has been that over my time here in the community, and look forward to continued relationship in the years ahead. Rabbi Mati Neuberger, I know also very well for many, many years, going way back to, I was his, in Camp Chinuch, we came together, and so it's a wonderful opportunity to be together with Rabbi Neuberger. But as I look around the room today, I see a lot of familiar faces through the years, and I feel very comfortable speaking here. Primarily because my grandparents were members of the White Shul when it was still white. And I have my uncle in attendance, Uncle Imi, Emmanuel, and Marlene Aryeh, who are dedicated members of the Shul. And it's been about over four decades since I came to the Shul in an official capacity. See, my grandmother was very involved with Mizrahi, Amit, and they used to have functions in one of the rooms here, and sometimes they were lacking entertainment. Me and my brother and my cousins had pretty good voices, at least when we sung all together. And so on a number of occasions, we were the entertainment for the Amit meetings that took place in the White Shul. So it's been about 40 years since I've come back, but I feel very comfortable being here. And just before my remarks, just to echo something that Fred said, and just to acknowledge Fred and Gitti and their dedicated work to this morning's program, as well as to having a Chevra Kedisha. Our Chevra Kedishas work very much together, and acknowledge the presence of Michael Krangel, the head of our Rosh of our Chevra Kedisha, because when we're dealing with large communities, large shuls, large memberships, there are all those times where either A, the families are blended, but also just the needs of the our community are so great that sometimes one has to be there for the other chevra. And we too have witnessed the workings of the chevra kedisha of the white shul, and it's very much a symbiotic relationship mm-hmm. that we work together to see to it that both shuls and the community is there for people in their time of need. And so just to acknowledge the work of the White Shul Chevra Kedisha and the role that it plays not only for the White Shul community, but for the larger five towns community. And my remarks this morning are going to be focused on Zion Adar, to talk about Zion Adar as a day, and specifically within the context of coming up to Purim, because very often we think about Zion Adar, we think about this day, and we say it's the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit, and then we're going to be coming to Matzei Shabbos, we're going to come to Sunday and we have Purim. We don't think about the interconnection between the two. And what I'd like to do is to do that first based on the Gemara. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah tells us that when Haman went ahead and wanted to come up with his final solution, so we know he was very much into fate, and he was very much into just, you know, the luck of the die. And so he peeled poor. The Megillah tells us that he cast a lot, and he wanted to see, well, when would it fall out? At what point in the calendar year would it fall out that this would be the time that I should go ahead and launch my plan? And the Gemara says, Kevan shenafal poor b'chodesh Adar, sameach simcha gedola. Here it was, he throws the die, he throws the goral, and it comes out in the month of Adar, and he was very happy. It was an extra joy. He says, wow, this has fallen out. This month is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu died. This is the month that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. This is a very auspicious time for me to be able to carry forth my plan. As opposed to any other month, it falls on Zion Adar, it falls in Adar, and so he was very, very happy. But says the Gemara, the Gemara presents for us that he had one piece of information, but he was lacking and he was missing another very critical piece of information. He was all joyous because it fell out on the month that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. But what he didn't know and what upended him was that month, that very day, Zion Adar, was also the day that Moshe Rabbeinu was born. And says Rashi, Kedai haleda shetischaper al amisa, that somehow, yes, there's a force when a person passes away, but there's a greater force marking that time period relating to when they came into the world. That when the Shas haleda, the time that they're born, for all eternity, is a more powerful moment than marking the time that they passed away. Rashi doesn't explain it, but maybe hopefully over the next few minutes, we'll try and explain exactly what that means. What does that mean that the Koach HaLeda should upend and overturn the Koach HaMisa, and specifically in the context of Purim? So we all know, as was mentioned by Rabbi Neuberger, that Moshe Rabbeinu's death and his place of death is unknown. V'lo yada. We simply do not know where that place is. But there's another detail concerning Moshe Rabbeinu's place of death that I think is going to be a very profound way to not only understanding this particular detail, which is a little unknown, but also launching us in terms to eventually answering our question about understanding the Koach HaLeda. See, Moshe Rabbeinu at the Vizos HaBracha ascends Mount Nebo. He goes up on Har Nebo. We know this scene. It's one of the most, you know, pulling scenes, because Moshe Rabbeinu, all he wanted was to go into the land. That was his last ratzon, his only wish. And instead, all he does is able to go up on top of the mount, peer over to see Eretz Yisrael, and then ultimately pass on top of Har Nebo. But also in Vizos HaBracha, it mentions the following by the bracha that's given to God. By the bracha that's given to God, ulagod amar baruch machiv God, that God is the one who expands God. Kilavi shachin tarafta v'tazroa af kodkod. He's a very valiant warrior who's able to tear apart arm and head. The pasuk says that he took, referring to God, he took the first, i.e. that he took the area of the Transjordan. Gad is one of the 2.5 tribes that did not settle in the land of Israel proper, but rather they saw the land and the Transjordan and they petitioned Moshe Rabbeinu. At first, Moshe Rabbeinu was a little reluctant to give them permission to go, but when they said that we'll go fight and then we'll come back and settle this land, Moshe said, okay. And that's indeed what's happened. But it says, Kisham Chelkas Mechokek. There is the portion of the lawgiver. And it's here that Rashi drops a hint that's a little profound. He says, Ki yoda asher sam benachlaso chelkas sada kfura mechokek, v'hu Moshe. In the lot, in the area of God, is the mechokek, is the lawgiver. It's true that we don't know the exact location of Moshe's burial. And Zion Adar was this day that he passed, and he was buried by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we're given a little hint that he was in the chelek, he was in the portion of God. And the question sort of beckons, which is why? Of all the shvatim, or at least of the 2.5 shvatim, it could have been by Reuven, it could have been by Menashe. Why specifically is the Torah, by the bracha of God, saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is buried in that portion, that chelek? And so to understand this, we have to go back a little bit to the birth of God and develop some thoughts with regards to God. When God is born, Leah Imenu, rejoicing over the birth of a child, this is one of the children that's not from her, it's from a shivcha. And what does Leah say? So when Leah has the bracha, Vatomer Leah Bagad, Vatekra Shmo God. She says Bagad, and she called him God. And Rashi says, what is Bagad? God has come. Rashi says, Ba Mazel Tov. Comes Mazel Tov. With the arrival of God, Leah proclaims Mazel Tov. And we all do it when every child is born, but specifically God. God is the harbinger. God brings out this mazel of Mazel Tov. And the question is why? What is it about God? What does God represent that we would say Ba Mazel Tov? And with this, we could hopefully understand also what is it about God why Moshe Rabbeinu was buried there. And so we come to a very, very famous Gemara. And the Gemara is going to relate to the sheet that's in front of you. Now, all of you know your Aleph Beis. And I am certainly not here to teach you Aleph Beis. Although just on a little aside, my first rabbinic position, living in a Leicester in Queens. And on the floor was a child who needed bar mitzvah lessons. And it was a very unaffiliated family. And I sat down with him and they told me that unfortunately he dropped out of Talmud Torah quite early. And it was something like amazing to me because when we sat down to prepare for his bar mitzvah and it was going to be a minimal type of participation, he dropped out by Yud. And he only knew up to Yud. And I said, before we start preparing for his bar mitzvah, we're going to finish from Chaf to finish to Tuf. And that's what we did. So I am not here to teach you anything specific except something that was also a novel idea that was shown to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, the Gemara in Shabbos, says the following. The rabbi said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Osi dardikeo idna lebe midrasha. He said that the children came today to the base medrash. The children came to the base medrash today. And va'amru mile da'afilu ben Yeshua ben Nun lo itma kavasayu. And these children shared with us ideas and concepts that no one had heard of since the days of Yeshua ben Levi. Okay, Yeshua ben Nun. It's going pretty far back. Now these were ideas that on the surface seemed very simple because it's talking about Aleph Beis. But they played on those letters to teach a deeper meaning to the letters, to the names that we refer to, the words that we refer to identify the letters of the Hebrew Aleph Beis. So for example, says the Gemara, Aleph Beis, what is that? elaf bina, to teach, to study. Elaf bina, to study Torah. That the aleph and the beis are not just letters, says the Gemara, that represent the letters of the aleph beis, but the aleph beis also teach us lessons in terms of those very letters themselves. So from the aleph and the beis together, elaf bina teaches us that we're supposed to study. So now look in front of you, because you've seen these letters thousands of times in your life. Says the Gemara, Gimel Dalet. You have the Gimel and the Dalet. What is Gimel Dalet? Says the Gemara, Gemul Dalim. Gimel Dalim is to take care of those who are in need. To extend yourself to someone, to a Dal, to someone who's impoverished. So the Gemara goes ahead and looks at these two letters in front of you. My time up shoot kare the Gimel legabe Dalas. Why is it, if you look at what's in front of you by the Gimel, there are two arrows by number 10. And by number 10, if you notice a little bit, this left leg of the Gimel kicks up towards the Dalet. And so the Gemara asks, why is it that the Gimel does that? Why is it turned towards? Shekin dakal shel gomel chasodim larutz achar hadalim. Because that left leg with the kick up indicates how a person who's a gomel, person who's going to extend himself, how they're supposed to do it. You know how they're supposed to do it? They're supposed to run after it. They're not even supposed to be asked. They're supposed to seek it out. They're supposed to chase after and run after the dal, larutz achadalim. My time up shoot kari dalas legabi gimel. Now, if you notice on the dalid, if you look at the 8, where it says 8, the line that goes down, it's slanted, and line in 2, in other words, it's not vertically down. They could have easily written a dalid, like that line should be completely vertical, like a vav. But it's not. Where does it slant? It slants towards the gimel, says the Gemara. The limtse nashe, it's ordered because the person who's on the receiving end should make it easy. That sometimes the person who needs to be on the receiving end of chesed doesn't make it easy for the gomel. So the dalet slants back in terms of representing that. And why is it that the face of the dalet, the open space of the dalet, is away from the gimel? As we all know, 4, that total open space is away from the gimel. Says the Gemara, "Delitein lebetzina ki hecha delo lechasif mine." It's because the person who's a gomel has to do it betzina, to do it in a way that preserves the dignity of the individual, like the work of the chevra, where no one knows. Everyone's sitting here. There are people sitting here who may not know who's on the chevra and who's not on the chevra. Because the gimel represents to the dalet, yes, we're going to extend, but we don't necessarily see that face. It's the chesed shel emes. And so what we see from this gemara is very profound, that the letters gimel and dalet, and the letters that comprise the name of God, represents gomel dalet. When Leah saw her child, she understood, she called him God, because she had a vision of looking at her child. He said, Ba mazel tov. Because this is going to be a shevet, this is going to be a person, an individual, a part of the nation that more than all the others, in a way, is going to be the one who's going to embody to be a gomel dalem, to extend, to run after the person in need, but to do it in a way where you preserve that other person's integrity and their identity, and to do it without embarrassing them. That is the midah of God. And if we can understand that this is the midah of God, this is, as some indicate, a lot of Hasidic Svarim sort of bring this up, that the whole Tachlis HaBriya, the Be'er Moshe, when he explains this concept of God, he says is that the whole Tachlis HaBriya, the whole purpose of creation, is to be involved with chesed. Olam chesed yibone. To a world that's built upon kindness. A world that's built upon generosity of spirit. Of being concerning one person to the other. And says that's how he explains ba God, ba mazel tov. That's why I understand. Why God, why mazel tov? Because whatever mazel there is in this world, whatever world of fate there may be, chesed is greater. Chesed can overturn it. Chesed, kindness, God, represents that level of mazel tov. That is what God, Gimel Dalet, being a Gomel Dalem, represents as a shevet. Okay. So you'll say, like you'll ask the question that the Sifri asks, because that same pasuk said, Sidkas Hashem Asa. After telling us that God had the Mechokek, the lawgiver, in his chelek, it says, Sidkas Hashem Asa, that he did, it's a little ambiguous, he did staka, he did righteousness. And there's a question, who's it referring to? It's God's blessing, seemingly referring to God. But the Sifri says, no, it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. And ask the question, says the Sifri, really? What staka did Moshe do? The food, the man they had. The water was the be'er. All their clothing, taking care of all their needs from a sheltering point of view, those were the ananim. The clouds that protected them during their journey in the desert, in the Midbar. So what staka did they do? Did Moshe Rabbeinu do? So the staka is that he was a mechokek, teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael, giving Torah to Klal Yisrael, Taras Chesed, that was the ultimate act of tzedakah that Moshe Rabbeinu did. And so both Moshe and God were answering our question, why should Moshe Rabbeinu be buried in the chelek of God? It makes perfect sense. Because they both were involved with Chesed in their lives. And Chesed is that quintessential value that they both shared, God through his name. God b'mazel tov, because God is the one who personifies that understanding of the letters Gimel and Dalet to be a Gomel Dalem, to be concerned with someone else. So now, with this understanding, we now clearly understand Zayin Adar. Some of you, I don't know what the minig here is with saying Tachnun, not saying Tachnun, but we're all together here to have this understanding, to memorialize Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit, and to commit ourselves to the value of Moshe Rabbeinu. But with this insight of being a Gomel Dalem and a Ba Mazel Tov of what God represents, can now possibly understand what Haman did not. See, Haman saw that Moshe Rabbeinu died in this month. So he took it that this is the right time to get the Jewish people. I could get them now. This is the moment. But he didn't understand that Moshe Rabbeinu was also born. And the koach haleda is greater than the koach of misa, because the koach haleda means we look at that this person came into this world. We don't focus that they left the world. We look at, and our attention is turned to that they were born in this world, that they lived in this world, that they accomplished chesed in this world, chesed with their families, chesed with their loved ones, chesed with their community, that they embody the life of chesed. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu symbolizes. And that's the koach haleda, as Rashi says, that can be mischaper. It can atone for the misa. Because we reflect on the life lived and not the moment of death. That was what Haman didn't know. And because he didn't know, he thought he could get the Jewish people. But instead, the month of Adar is actually a month of celebration. It's interesting to point out, not to get all the way out there, but this message of God is a very powerful one, and some of the Chassidish Sfarim take it a little further to understand that Mishanichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, and what is the astrological sign of Adar? Dug. Dug is Dalet Gimel. V'nahafochu is to take the Dalet Gimel and to bring it into a God. And where now the Lubavitcher Rebbe says in a sicha that he gave Erev Pasha's Tetzaveh, this week's coming Parsha, he states that if you think about it, Zayin Adar. What's Zayin Adar? It's the tzirif, it's the combination together of Gimel and Dalet. The Oz Gimel, the Gomel Dalem, to be a Gomel Dalem, that is the quintessential value, so to speak, of Zayin Adar. 3 and 4 equals 7. Zayin Adar represents God. V'nafochu is to take the dog and make it into a God. make it into a Gimel Dalet. That's what we're trying to achieve on Purim. And with this, we can understand why so much about Purim involves Chesed. So much about Purim is about Matanos L'Avyonim and Shalachmanos Ish L'Re'ehu. It's not a celebration that involves ourselves. It's a celebration that we have to relate. We're mechuyev. We don't fulfill the mitzvahs unless we interact with others, unless we engage others, and once we larutz, unless we look like that gimel, the leg of the gimel, running after others. So I just want to close with a story. The story is told by Rabbi Fran. In a way, it's a powerful story, and it relates a little bit in terms of Chevron Kedisha, because there was a man in Vilna who used to go through the cemeteries. Well, sometimes people go through cemeteries. And he came across two tombstones. And he was very shocked, a little way perplexed by what he saw on the tombstones. There were two tombstones for two brothers. The two brothers had inscription, but what was very unique is, first of all, that they had both had, they're both men, but they had inscriptions from a line from Eishes Chayil. A line from Eishes Chayil. And it was broken up, half on one tombstone, half on the other tombstone. So it was a little odd, because first of all, you don't see that broken up into two tombstones, and you don't usually have Eishes Chayil on a man's tombstone. What was on one of the tombstones? One of the tombstones had Kapa Pasar Li'ani, and the other one said V'yadah Shilchal Avyon. Kapa Pasar Li'ani, her palm is stretched for the Ani, for the poor. V'yadeha, and her arm, Shilchal Avyon, right? For the person who's destitute, she is sending forth her arm. He was very perplexed. He didn't know what was going on. And so he decided he was going to ask one of the elders of Vilna, you know, to explain the story. And he goes, and this person, this individual, this elderly man, was able to share with him the story. He says the story was that these were two brothers who were extremely, extremely wealthy, very successful. But then, and they were very generous, they were philanthropists, they would give money, big balit stucco. Then they fell on very hard times. And, you know, the people began to murmur, the people began to talk, you know, before the age of fake news. You know, everyone's talking. And they're all, you know, and the Bezdin of Vilna figured that they have to step in because, you know, people are talking about them. Here, their whole mazel changed, and now they're not successful. So the Bezdin decided they'll get involved. They had to convene a meeting. They said, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to interview these two brothers. There has to be something that's going on. Something is going on that has caused this to happen, that the situation befell them this way. Okay, they get the brothers together. They've been fired. They investigate all their actions. And it comes out they really were doing something wrong. What were they doing wrong? So we know that when a person gives sukkah, even if they want to be more generous than giving meiser, but they shouldn't give more than a chomesh. They shouldn't give more than 20%. They were giving much more than they should have been giving. That was their violation. So what was this Bezdin going to do? So the Bezdin decided, you know what, we're going to take control of their finances, and when any poor people come to them for money, we're going to say, you know, they're going to have to tell them, refer them to us, we'll give out the money, and this way we'll take control of the situation, and they won't run out of all their funds. So what would happen? Okay, so the Bezdin had control of the money. Poor people would come. Aniyim would come to the brothers, and the brothers would say, listen, you have to go to the Bezdin. We don't have the checks. We don't sign. You have to go to the Bezdin. They said, we went to the Bezdin, but what the Bezdin gives us is not nearly what you used to give us. We could barely feed our families. What are we supposed to do? So they looked at themselves. They said, well, what are we supposed to do? We don't have money. We don't have anything. So they said, oh. They said, they have their silverware. Their silverware, which was pure silver. And they started giving away all their silverware. Then all of a sudden that day, there's a knock at the door, and it's the Ani, and he wants something. The two brothers are there. And they say, listen, we gave away everything. They had one last spoon. So they broke the spoon in half, and one brother gave one spoon, and one the top of the spoon, and one gave the bottom of the spoon. Kapa pasaliani, the palm, but a kaf in Hebrew is a spoon. One brother gave the kaf, gave the spoon part. The yadeha, and her hand, is also the arm of the spoon. The yadeha shilcha le'evyon, that the arm was given to the destitute one, to the impoverished one. Those two brothers, those tombstones in Vilna, memorialize the fact that they had such a generosity of spirit. And forever they're memorialized with both having a split pasuk on two tombstones, a pasuk from Eish Chayil, because they identified with that value of what it means to be a gomel dalim, to be a gomel dalim. And so for the work of this Chevra Kedisha, for the work that this shul does and embodies, we celebrate this morning, we commemorate this morning two things. One is a commitment to that value of God, that this community, that this shul will be there for each person at their time of need. And that this shul, we don't wait. When you're a Chevra Kedisha, you don't wait. You're very, very proactive. That gimel kicks in, and from the moment there's the phone call, and the rav calls and is involved, and the chevetz involved, and the person who sets up, and the person who's involved. And that is so, so critical for the person going through the experience, to know that the shul, that the chevra is there for them. But it's also the message of being a gomel dalim is also equally important for the person who has lost loved ones, especially this year. The idea is that we don't necessarily, the Bab Mazel Tov is because we don't focus on the Misa. We focus on the Leda. We focus on the Chesed that their that infused their lives and how they touched us and touched everyone around them. It's interesting, we're soon going to bench. I didn't have a bagel, but I'm sure we're going to bench. And every day in benching, what do we say? We say, Harachaman Yishlach Lanu Es Eliyaha Nevi Zachula Tov V'Vase Lanu B'Saros Tovos Yeshuos V'Nechamos. We await Eliyahu HaNavi to come and give us that good news, the good news that Rabbi Farner spoke about, heralding in that time of Tchias HaMesim, we'll be reunited with our loved ones. Well, if you have to guess it, if you don't know, what Shevet is Eliyahu from? God. Ba Mazel Tov. It's that time period that we usher in, the Mitzvah Shem we all daven for, that Eliyahu HaNavi from the Shevet of God, representing that value of Gomel Dalim, the Nafalchu, to take the Dug to the God, and to understand that Moshe Rabbeinu and God are intertwined, and that's why they are all together in that place that though we don't know specifically where it is, what we do know is that Moshe Rabbeinu, who represented that Taras Chesed Alashona, is buried in the Chelek of that Shevet that embodied that Midah of Chesed. But it's not just for the Shevet of God, it's for all of us here today as well. Have a good day and a good morning.